Okay, so first of all, I just wanted to introduce the shiur with a general comment, not germane to the subject matter of the shiur per se, but apropos last week's parsha, we read about the Karban Tamid, which is more famously recorded in the Torah, in Parshas Pinchas, but it actually is very interesting that it's included at the end of Parshas Tetzaveh. Truma and Tetzaveh are kind of a unit, so Truma deals with the Klei HaMikdash, and Tetzaveh, of course, deals with the Big Day Kohen Gadol, and the halachos pertaining to the transformation of Aaron Uvanav into the Kohanim, what we call the Shiva Simei Amiluim. The Rambam understood that it was a unit, by the way. The Rambam, he called it the halachos, hilchos klei amikdash, ovdim bo, that you can't separate between the kelim and the people who work there. That's why they both get the shemen amishcha. So that whole section of the Torah ends off with shishi and tetzaveh, esa keves, in this case it's ha'echa, taseh aboker, v'esa keves ha'sheni taseh ben arbaim. So in the hakdama of the Ein Yaakov, we know there are different theories as to what the central pasuk of the Torah is. So Rabbi Akiva definitely won the most famous award, is V'hafta L'Re'echa Kamocha. We know that Rabbi Akiva's almost son-in-law Ben Azai said a little bit differently. What did Ben Azai say was the most important pasuk in the Torah? He said Zeh Sefer Toldos HaAdam, B'yom Beros Hashem Elokim Adam, B'dmus Elokim Asa Oso, the notion of Tzelem Elokim. So we don't have a makor in Chazal for this, but Rav Palti Gaon is quoted in the Hakdama of Ein Yaakov saying the most important concept in the Torah is the pasuk of Esakeves Echa Taseh Baboker Vesakeves Hasheni Taseh Bein Arbayim, the notion of consistency, as the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos says, Akol Tzafay V'Rishus Desuna V'Tuva Olam Nidon V'Akol Lefi Rov Hamasa. So the Rambam is Medayik; it doesn't say Godol Hamasa, it says Rov Hamasa, that you have to habituate yourself and you have to do things Bikvias Uvitzmidos, and so to, on a theoretical day off, there's no such thing as a day off from Talmud Torah, Kihem Chayenu V'Yorech Yamenu. So Yashikoach to everybody for not just being here, but really for subscribing to that message, number one. Number two, this is part of the series this year. We called it Values Which Unite Us. So the first part was Thanksgiving time, so that Friday after Thanksgiving. So we spoke a little bit there about Hakaras HaTov. So first of all, I want to continue and be Makir Tov to Freddie for helping me set up and taking care of the logistics, and Michael Grad, our executive directors, to Sharon Rifkin, the communications director, for sending the message out. So it's not just the person who has the schos of delivering this year, but more importantly, the people who are osim bimlacha. So they have my gratitude. But the connection of gratitude goes even one step further, because anytime we talk about governmental responsibility, so we have to be very grateful to be living in this country, what Rav Moshe Feinstein referred to in a famous tshuva, where he's dealing with, unfortunately, some yeshivos that were engaged in dishonest practices and amongst many other things. So Rav Moshe said, to cheat this mamlacha shel chesed, it's one thing if it's the czar who's engaged in, arbitrary anti-Semitic decrees stealing people's money. But in this country, which we refer to as a mamlacha shel chesed, how could you behave in such a manner? The mamlacha shel chesed that continues to be a mamlacha shel chesed is certainly mechayiv in terms of Hakaras HaTov, and doesn't mean that everybody in the government is perfect. We just had the abhorrent and deplorable comments of Congresswoman from Somalia, the clearly anti-Semitic remarks. It doesn't mean that there aren't exceptions, but by and large, this country really has lived up to what George Washington penned in his famous letter to the Jewish community of the Tiro Synagogue in Newport, Rhode Island, in August of 1790, when George Washington wrote, and really was Koveil Adore Doros, this sentiment, and we'll talk about how leadership can do that, that the government of the United States, quote, gives to bigotry no sanction, and to prejudice no sanctuary, that the government of the United States would always be fair to the stock of Abraham, as he referred to us. And the idea of giving to bigotry no sanction is something that the United States, by and large, has, not in every single case, but has really lived up to, certainly more than any other place that we've ever been historically. So that, too, is a mechayev of Hakaras HaTov. So the title of this year is Mizpalo B'Shlom B'Shel Malchus, Halachic Attitude Towards Government and Civic Responsibility. Of course, I took the title this year from the famous Mishnah in Avos, Rabbi Chanina Skana Kohanim Omer, you have it in the first source, having Mizpalo B'Shlom B'Shel Malchus, that there's a din that we have to daven for the welfare, let's say, of Malchus, which is an interesting term. It means typically a monarchy, but it's understood more broadly to be the government of that particular institution. Some of the Kiyum Beforshim and Pirkei Avos note that it would apply to the kind of governments that existed in Renaissance Italy. As people know, in Venice, for example, which was not a Malchus. So having Mispalo B'Shlomo Shel Malchus, we'll permit ourselves a slightly more expansive definition. It means the government per se. She'el mali mora'ah, because if it wasn't for the mora, the sense of trepidation that the Malchus is able to cast upon the citizens of a particular locale, ishes re'eu chayim bela'o, the people would literally consume each other alive. So the notion of being mispalel b'shlomo shel Malchus, because, you know, without shlomo shel Malchus, you know, you'd have, you know, this state of chaos, almost the apocalyptic vision of ishes re'eu chayim bela'o, does not necessarily call us towards the highest ideals and ambitions of what it means to be mispalel b'shlomo shel Malchus, because they're so wonderful, but they're saying the alternative is really so terrible. And this, of course, comports with the Gemara in Masechta Avodah Zarah, Daf Gimel Beis, to the top of Daf Dalet Amud Aleph, based on a pasuk in Chabakuk, which that Gemara is analyzing, Vatasa Adam Kidgei Hayam, where Chabakuk somehow compared human beings to the Degei Hayam, Kiremes Lo Moshel Bo, a situation where there's no Moshel. So the Gemara comments, Devaracher Madagim Shebiyam Ko Agadol Me Chavero, Boleo Es Chavero, Af Bnei Adam Mil Moli Moro Shal Malchus Ko Agadol Me Chavero, Boleo Es Chavero. So if it weren't for some order, some government that was able to impose some kind of law on society, so you'd have this, again, apocalyptic vision, like the Dagim Shebayam, right, where literally might makes right, and we'd have that in society itself. And then the Gemara sees fit to quote the Mishnah of us, Rabbi Chanina Skana Kohanim Omer, Hevi Mispalel B'Shlomo Shel Malchus, Il Mole Mora Shel Malchus, Ishes Re'ehu, Chayim Blo. So this is a very minimalistic perspective, to be sure, about the significance of Shlomo Shel Malchus. Again, it's not suggesting that there's something particularly ambitious or even affirmative about being Mispalel B'Shlomo Shel Malchus, is that we want to avoid the alternative, which is very frightful indeed. And this is something that not only appears in our tradition, but is something very much, if we go back before the founding of this country, was deeply rooted in the philosophy of the Enlightenment and the social contract thinkers, of course, Rousseau and Montesquieu, and before that, Thomas Hobbes, a very important English philosopher in the 16th and 17th centuries. So he wrote a very important work called The Leviathan. So this is one of the most famous citations in the Leviathan. Everybody should know it because it literally, you know, could have been written in light of the Gemara in Masechta Avodah Zarah and the Mishnah in Avos. Anybody want to read? This might be your maiden voyage through the Leviathan, okay? So this is the fourth source, the Thomas Hobbes. Go ahead.
In such condition, there is no place for industry because the fruit thereof is uncertain.
Because he's talking about a situation where there's no government to protect, right? So if, you know, you can produce things and then you're afraid the next day somebody's going to come and, you know, rob your warehouse, right? So then why would anybody produce anything? Okay, so just, you know, this is what he's talking about.
And consequently, in no culture of the earth, no navigation, nor use of the commodities that may be imported by sea, no commodious building, no instruments of moving and removing. Such things as require much force, no knowledge of the face of the earth, no account of time, no arts, no letters, no society, which worst of all, continual fear and danger of violent death, and the life of man, solitary, poor, nasty, brutish, and short.
Okay, so there you have it. This is the famous description of what's referred to as the state of nature, that if there's not going to be Mora Shel Malchus, Ishes Re'u Chayim Bela'o, that's the way that Chazal said it, and you have a direct parallel amongst the social contract thinkers, is that's why it's worth organizing into society, because it creates a certain measure of stability through which other things are able to flourish. But most of all, you know, people don't have to live in continuous fear that somebody's going to come up to them because they're stronger than them, you know, and, you know, throw them onto the pavement and, you know, take their wallet or worse. You know, some of us are a little bit old enough to remember in New York City before its current iteration, so we may have some recollection of the state of nature, but certainly for the Talmidim in the room, so you're living in, you know, a better time and in a better place. So this is, again, something to bear in mind. And that's certainly the simple reading of the Mishnah. But what I really want to try to do is develop perspectives that really transcend just this, you know, extremely pragmatic impetus to be concerned for the welfare of the government, because the alternative is so frightful in terms of the description that both Chazal and Hobbes gave for it. So I wanted to take a step back and to think a little bit more generally about the way that Chazal related to government in general. So there's a range of views, as there is in most topics within Chazal. We don't come from a homogeneous or monolithic tradition. So, Ben Zion, you want to do the honors just to read the Mishnah? This is in the second parak of Masechta Avos. So again, we'll sort of give the skira, the broad overview of different perspectives to government and society, and we'll even try to make some diukim in terms of differences between words that are used to describe government and how that can highlight different ways of relating to the government. Okay, so Ben Zion, go ahead. Okay, so anytime you're dealing with somebody who comes to the family of the Nasi, one of the responsibilities, of course, of the Nasi was to interact with the government. In the days of Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi, of course, that meant the Roman government. Okay, so this is somebody who's coming from a certain perspective of experience. So in your own words, what's he suggesting? Right, good. So in other words, that politicians have their own agenda, okay? And so they're very good at presenting things a certain way, bishas hana asan, when it's to their own advantage. But if you think that this is true friendship and true loyalty, so then you're deceiving yourself. Don't be so naive. Now, it's interesting here. Anybody want to make a diuk? Because the actual term which is used for government in this case is not what we saw in the Mishnah in the third parak of Rabbi Chanina Skana Kohanim. And at this point, I very much want to try to develop. So Rabbi Chanina Skana Kohanim, when he was referring to the government, what did he say? He's palel b'shlomo shel malchus. Now malchus connotes, of course, when you're talking about a monarchical society, a formal investment of power. But even if it's not a monarchy, it highlights the formal dimension of government and political leadership. Now, in the other Mishnah, bring liol b'noshel b'rehuda hanasi, what was the terminology that was employed? Rishus. Okay, so rishus is a very different kind of a term. So, of course, the Rambam in his commentary on Avos says, okay, that's what we're talking about. We're talking about the shilton. But it's a very important, in general, we stress this, we stress this again, to be medayik in every single word, in the Chumash, in Tanakh, in Chazal. So rishus gives you a little bit of a different sense, because what it tells you, what it speaks to, is not so much the formal authority which is invested in government, but their capacity to do certain things. Rishus means, if I say a person has rishus to do something, it doesn't mean that he's in the government. It means he has the ability, he has permission to go ahead and do certain things. So here, rishus is a very important term, and it gets us thinking about the difference between, you know, formal governmental authority and being able to somehow utilize maybe non-formal positions, but to engage in various other forms of leadership as well. And so that's going to be an idea that I want to come back to as we come to the last section of the shiur, is some of the distinctions between formal modes of leadership and modes of leadership that are informal, but that rest in the charisma of a particular individual. This is a distinction that Rav Lichtenstein Zatzal would write about very, very often. And it's a very important distinction to be aware of. And I'll just, you know, highlight the point by noting that especially in a monarchical society, you could have somebody who's invested with all of the formal capacities of leadership simply because he's the king's son, right? It's hereditary, it's dynastic in terms of the rule. And he could have none of the qualities of actual leadership. by definition, right? Why is he the king? It was not because, you know, there's a meritocracy involved. On the contrary, right? It's a hereditary system. So you could have somebody who's in a position of malchus who really doesn't have either the ability, the desire, or the inclination to get anything done, okay? And you could have the opposite. You have somebody who's able to exercise enormous traits and capacities of leadership on the one hand, right, but he doesn't have any formal status or title on the other. So let's bear that in mind, because that's where we're going to take this discussion away from the formal governmental authorities to something, I think, of direct consequence to all of us, to everybody here in this room. So that's one perspective, the perspective Ben Sion read for us of Rabbi Gamliel ben Osher, Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, which is a cautionary note. And the Bar Tanura, you have it here in the sixth source. What the Bar Tanura points out is not that Hevu Zehirin Birishus means that you should stay away from the government. It means that when you deal with the government, because you're going to need to deal with the government, so don't be naive. You have to understand that they have their own agenda, they have their own purposes, and you know, they may be able to present themselves as if they're your best friends, but you shouldn't be deceived by that. So again, that's the language of the Bar Tanura in the sixth source. Atem hamis askim b'tzorach yitzir, afal p'hish atem tzrichim lizvad l'rishus, kidei v'fakeach l'iske rabim, right? It's an obligation to be involved in tzorach yitzir, hevu zehirim, you should be cautious and not have any naivete. So that line of, you know, al tizvad l'rishus, that comes from a comment made by Shmaya. Eliyah, you want to put it on the ledger for us? This is the seventh source. Again, another Mishnah Navus. This is now the third Mishnah Navus that we're working through. Rabbi Chanina Skanakonim, Rabbi Gamliel ben Osher, Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, and now Shmaya. So go ahead. Shmaya v'Avtalion Kiblu Mehem. Right. Okay. So he says you should love the work that you do, right? And, you know, speaking primarily here to those involved in Torah leadership. So you should love the work that you do, the chesed that you get to do, the Torah that you get to teach, v'chulei, usnas harabanos. You shouldn't be in it for, you know, the pomp and circumstance that comes with it or the formal authority. V'al tisvada larishus, right? You should try to stay as far away as possible from the rishus. So the Rambam was, you know, commenting about this. Okay, so Eliyahu, go ahead. V'chein yidiyas ha-shulton, right? Al tisvad al rishus, to become acquainted or intimate with the rishus. So you had to appreciate the wit of the Rambam. So the Rambam, you know, when he was yet your age, when he was writing his Perush HaMishnayos, so what did he say? Al tisvad al rishus. So he says, coming close, kirvaso, in other words, coming close to the shilton, racho kayam ba'od, that's all he meant. It'd be very difficult to emerge unscathed from this. Okay, so the Rambam had a lot of wit. Okay? Yashkiach b'davar. Or in Yan, in this case. Okay, anybody want to sort of distill and be able to code what the Rambam is saying here about Ve'al Tisvada L'Rishus? So what's the track record of people who get really close to leading figures of government, that it is, in a word? Corrupting, right? Doeg Adomi is somebody that Chazal looked at as a major Torah scholar. Who was he close to, right? Who was the Navi in Bechir Hashem, the Mashiach Hashem that's being referenced here? Doeg was the adjutant of which major figure in Jewish history? Shaul, of course, right? And what did he end up doing? Right? Terrible crime. Right, he massacred the city of Nov Yerakohanim, right? 85 Kohanim that he killed in cold blood because the Kohen Nov, you know, unwittingly was abetting David, you know, who was running away from Shaul. Not that anybody knew that in society, so whatever. So they're Morid B'malchus, so they have to kill everybody. So it's a terrible act of Shvichos Damim. So the Rambam is saying is that what ends up happening to people is that there's this kind of a corrupting impulse to getting involved in the government, because the particular desideratum of any government official becomes, you know, the goal, and when that's the goal, so all morality it goes out the window. So he says again, Shemaya is sounding a very cautionary note. So again, you know, there's this perspective, and this is a very important perspective in Chazal, but like I said, it's only part of a broad spectrum, because, you know, Al Tisvada L'Rishos, or Havu Zehirin B'Rishos, there are different ways of expressing skepticism about governmental authority, but the Medrash Tanchuma, based on the Pasuk in Parshas Va'era, Vayitzaveim al B'nei Yisrael, Ve'al Paro Melech Mitzrayim, Rashi even quotes this in his Perush al HaTorah, says that there's another concept that we have to be very careful about, Lehalacha, of Chilku Kavod L'Malchus, that we have to be respectful of people in government positions, so we're all entitled to our position, and certainly in this country, right, the First Amendment grants us free speech, but Lim Deim Lachlo Kavod L'Malchus, and I always point out, and something to keep in mind, at all times, in all places, but especially in today's day and age, that people have very strong feelings, is that when Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron, not yet Aaron HaKohen, but Aharon were told, Chilku Kavod L'Malchus, who were they dealing with? They're dealing with Paro, right? Literally a Rasha Marusha, you know, genocidal maniac. You know, and so even in that case, Chilku Kavod L'Malchus. So, Kavachomer to anybody, you know, that, you know, we encounter, where, again, whatever one thinks of particular policies, one has to, you know, have some degree of perspective. A person isn't Paro Melech Mitzrayim, and even in that situation, there's a notion of Chilku Kavod L'Malchus. So, on the one hand, with some pretty deep skepticism, Havu Zehirin B'Rishos, Al Tisvada L'Rishos, but on the other hand, in terms of modes of interaction, there has to be a degree of kavod which is expressed, and I'm not suggesting that these are mutually exclusive, right? One could have an inner state of caution and wariness, an inner state of awareness that people certainly have their own agenda, but in terms of outwardly, everything has to be expressed with a great degree of respect, of chilku kavod. Okay, so that's a little bit of a general overview. Now to return to the Mishnah that we're trying to develop as fully as we possibly can. So far we developed a perspective of the Gemara in Masechta Avodah Zarah, which happens to quote for this particular Mishnah. That in the absence of government, you have what Thomas Hobbes called the state of nature. And the state of nature is this terrible state of affairs where life is nasty and brutish and short and people live in constant fear of death. And under those circumstances, you'd want a government because the alternative is particularly horrible. So that's not the only general perspective about Shlomo Shalmachos as developed by many of the Rishonim in this particular Mishnah. So just again, in the interest of time, we can't go through all of it, but let me give you a kind of a middle perspective before we get, I think, to the most ambitious point of view, which is a perspective of Rabbeinu Yonah, and I'll show you how l'halacha in our shul, I was changed the text of the Tfilah Be'ad Shlom Hamdina in light of this Rabbeinu Yonah. I thought it required me to change, just add in a few words to the text. But before we get to the most ambitious view, let's take a look at the position of the Me'iri, which is based on the Pasuk in Yirmiyahu. So we know that Yirmiyahu had a very you know, difficult job. What made Yirmiyahu's career as a Navi somewhat difficult? Right? You want to be the Navi, so which you don't get to choose, right? As Hashem said to Yirmiyahu in Perek Aleph, "V'terem etzarcha v'beten yedaticha v'v'terem teitzem erecha mikdashticha navi lagoyim nesaticha." Yirmiyahu didn't get to choose his assignment. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't get to choose his assignment. So Yirmiyahu, of course, is the Navi of what time period? The Churban, right? So is that a job that most people would want, right? You know, because, you know, if it's the idea of, right, killing the messenger, if the message is just really bad consistently. And we know that there was a whole cottage industry in Yirmiyahu's time, because Yirmiyahu was always saying that there's really bad news. So what kept on happening in Sefer Yirmiyahu, you see in Sefer Malachim also, so the whole cottage industry of Nevi'ei Sheker, who brought good news. But why? Because there was a market demand for it. Yirmiyahu only has bad news, so there's a market demand for a Navi saying good news. It was good business at the time to be a Navi Sheker, right? If the Navi is giving everybody good news, then it's a much more bearish market for Nevi'ei Sheker. Okay, so Yirmiyahu had a very tough responsibility. Now, Yirmiyahu had to set the Jewish people up for going into Babel. So Asher, why don't you read the Pasuk? It's a famous Pasuk in Yirmiyahu. So he tells the Jewish people, right, that they're going to be in Babel. Babel, Yuva'u, Vishamayiyu. The Gemara Masech Suvis even says that you're not really supposed to leave Bavel, which is interesting. The Rambam even records that lehalacha. So here we go. Yirmiyahu Chav Tazayin, Pasuk V'dirshu. So you have to seek out, right? Language of Drisha, the Ramban says, anywhere in Tanakh, and Pasuk says, V'telech L'drosha Hashem. So the Ramban is cholek on Rashi. And don't listen. And the Ramban says, in his opinion, that any time, right, the term drisha is used in Tanakh, it means lashon tefila. Dirshu Hashem b'himatzo k'ra'u b'yoso karov. Eilu asar yamim sheben Rosh Hashanah yom kippurim. So dirshu Shlom Ha'ir is basically, at least l'shita Ramban, a way of saying, daven for the welfare of that government, okay? Right, because when that government is going to be stable, so there will be shalom for you. So, you know, one could read this in light of Ishes Reu Chaim Bala'o and assume that's what the Pasuk near Miyo means, but I actually assume that it's saying something subtly different than that. Not that it's saying that the alternative is going to be utter chaos, no destruction, but something a little bit more positive, that if there's welfare in the society in general, so that you're going to benefit from the welfare of that society. It's a more affirmative an optimistic perspective, and that certainly animated the Meiri's perspective on this Mishnah. So, again, this is actually quoted in one of the aggregation of sources in Pirkei Avos. So it's actually quoted in the Medrash Shmuel, but this is the Shita of the Meiri. However, Rabbeinu Menachem, the Veis Meir, Piresh ki kavanaso eno b'malcho shel Yisrael levad, ala filo b'shal umo se'olam. Kimoshenir maz b'torah b'inin hakrava shivim parim b'chag, Keneged Shivim Umos, that we have sort of like investment in the entire world. And that's why if you look at the Gemara Masechta Sukkah, it says, yeah, Shmini Atzeres is for us. Parechad Ayel Echad. So Parechad for the Am HaMiyuchad. But the 70 Parim of the rest of the holiday, days 1 through 7, is actually all about, the nations of the world and hoping that the nations of the world will be successful and have a good year, etc. Keneged Shivim Aha Umos, and again, anywhere the Jewish people would find themselves, they would understand that their welfare is basically tied into the government. So you don't have to see it inside, but there's a very interesting series of tshuvos that's coming out of Israel today called Shut B'mari HaBazak. Anybody happen to know who's producing these tshuvos? It's a very fascinating place. So there's a kollel in Yerushalayim. I haven't been to Israel, unfortunately, many, many, many years. The last time in Israel, I was zochah to sit and just learn in the kollel. It's called Eretz Chemda. They're fielding questions from all over the world. Wonderful young Talmidei Chacham of them from Israel, from America, from England, all over. And they're fielding questions from Rabban, a wonderful Dayanus program that they have there. And they have all kinds of, from modern technology to matters relating to the army, to really Bechol Chadrei HaTorah. It's a wonderful institution and organization, Midati Lumi community, producing outstanding Talmidei Chachamim. So here they were dealing with the question about, let's say the government of Israel was run entirely by non-Jews. Hashem, it's not. And it's run by, some of the representatives of the government of Israel are, certainly all dedicated public servants, but certainly deeply, deeply identified with the notions of Shivat Zion and the Jewish state. But they were dealing with a question, as you'll see in the first line here, Gami Mashultan Ninat Yisrael, Hayashulton Shogoyim, Chovatenu Haitalit Palel, Ishloma Shalmalchos. And so they go on to quote the Pasuk Yirmiyahu, and they go on to quote from the Meiri, and said that even if all the government and officials, let's say, were Druze and weren't Jewish people, so we'd still have to pray for them, it's no different than any other country in the world. You always have to pray for the government and the welfare of the government and how our community, of course, is protected by governments, etc. And the benefit of the community is ensured by governments. And you can take a look inside. But they, again, conclude with the Pasuk in Yirmiyahu, V'dirshu Shlom Ha'ir Asher Iglesias Chamshama, Vispalu ba'adai l'Hashem ki b'shloma yelachem shalom. Okay, very good. So this is what I like to call the middle view. This is not the Ishes Reu Chaim Bala'o view. Now, the only reason we pray for the government is in the absence of the government, there would be the state of nature, like Thomas Hobbes said, the Gemara Avodah Zarah said, Madagim Shebayam kol agadol mechavero b'le'az chavero. It's a little bit of a middle point of view that we all benefit from the welfare of the society around us, and we should have a positive orientation to that, and certainly a mechayev of hakara satov, the government that works on our behalf. So it's not so much, you know, fearing the alternative as much as appreciating, you know, that which is there. But certainly the Rishon that took this Mishnah furthest, his palo b'shloma shel malchus, and didn't even understand it to necessarily be related to the government itself, was the Rabbeinu Yonah. Rabbeinu Yonah, as we know, author of very important work in Masechta Brachos, in the space where the Ran normally goes. Shari Tshuva of Rabbeinu Yonah, who's a mechutin of the Ramban. Rabbeinu Yonah is a very important Rishon in Sfarad in general. And Rabbeinu Yonah says the following, and again, if you take away one thing from the Shir, having this idea about what Rabbeinu Yonah says, I would say this is the most important makor to take away this morning. Hopefully you take away more than that. But this makor is really outstanding. Like I said, you know, actually, in terms of, you know, the education which is available, and many other areas, like I say, healthcare, and you can make an entire list of these things. Okay, so this is, I think, the most expansive perspective, just to do a very brief chazara, what we've said so far, and then we're going to take things to their final development. So we start out with the Mishnah, his palo b'shloma shel malchus, shel mali mora ishes reu chayim below. So he said, the most minimal and narrow way you can look at davening for the government is just because absent the government, people are going to devour each other. Society is going to fall apart. This is described at the end of Parshas Bereishis, the beginning of Parshas Noach, Avatishacheis Haaretz Lifnei Ho'alokim, Atimalei Haaretz Chamas. There'll be a total state of nature, as Thomas Hobbes talked about it. V'gemar Nebuta Zara, Dav Gilmol Med Beis, Dav Dalad Amid Aleph. So everybody has a responsibility to pray that we shouldn't live in the state of nature. Perspective number one. Perspective number two is based on the Pasuk in Yirmiyahu, V'dirshu Eshlom Meir Asher Iglesias Chem Shama, and the notion that the government, if it does well, then will do well in a society that's flourishing. The Meiri seem to embrace that perspective. So again, it wasn't so much the absence of government causing anarchy, but the presence of government and what it could do for society. We talked about the tshuva of Bemari Habazak in that context as well, that even if the government of Israel was totally by non-Jews, it shouldn't be that way, and it's not that way, thank God, but even if it was, we'd still pray for the welfare of that government. And the most expansive view is the view of Rabbeinu Yonah, that we're really talking about, his palo b'shloma shel malchus, is talking about being invested in the welfare of society overall, and the responsibility of government is to provide for the welfare of society. So of course we're going to pray for the welfare of government. We also presented, in general, different voices within Chazal. None of them are mutually exclusive about our relationship to Malchus or Rishus, the notion of Havu Zehirin B'Rishus. On the one hand, Al Tisvada L'Rishus, being careful and somewhat skeptical about an agenda. On the other hand, certainly outwardly, Chilku Kavod L'Malchus, that was true of Paro, it was true of many other individuals, that we always have to be very respectful in terms of the way that we address representatives of governmental authority, chilku kavod the malchus, because again, malchus doesn't just mean if you have a monarchical system, but whatever the system of government is in a particular location. So what I wanted to try to do now in the last 7 minutes or so that we have is to develop, I think, a fourth perspective. And this is a perspective that I want to leave all you with. I think it's something that everybody should, especially young people, take to heart about another reason to be mispalel b'shloma shel malchus. That's what I call kocho shel malchus. Previously, we tried to distinguish between two related terms. Malchus as being a term connoting formal authority, and rishus being a term that connotes the ability to get things done, a kind of a practical authority, even if an individual doesn't have any formal title. But the fact of the matter remains that in the halachic worldview, the leader of society is perceived of as having the capacity to influence society in wonderful ways, also in terrible ways. And the Rambam develops this in some of the most stirring passages, in my opinion, in all of the Mishnah Torah. When the Rambam talks about the constellation of halachos that uniquely apply to the melech, we know that the melech, as described in Parsha Shoftim, is three unique isurim: lo yar belo nashim, lo yar belo susim, v'chesev v'zahav, lo yir belo ma'od, and he has a special mitzvah saseh that he has to be kosev his second sefer Torah, v'haysa imo v'karavo kol yemei chayav, l'man yilma, the yiras Hashem elokav, the vilti rum levavo me'echav, V'lo yaser min ha-mitzvah yaminu smol, l'man yarich yamim ha-mamachtov anav bekerav Yisrael. But the Rambam in his description didn't look at these things as sort of like isolated Yisrael. You can't have too many horses. You can't have too many wives. You can't have too much money. You should have a safer Torah. That's not the way the Rambam saw it. He saw it holistically. And let's read the language of the Rambam and let's understand what the Rambam is saying. Because the Rambam starts talking about things that don't even appear in the Chumash itself. HaMelech Oster Lishtos Derech Shechros. The Melech is never allowed to get drunk. Shenemar Al Melech Im Sheso Yayin. He should be completely dedicated to two things: Torah and Tzarchei Tzibur. Shenemar Vayseim Avikarvo Kaimechayav Vechein Lo Yashatuf Benashim. So it's not just a technical halacha; he can't have more than anybody happens to remember what's the limit on wives a king can have. It's machlok is between the Rambam and the Ravid whether it includes Pilagshim or not. But the Rambam says, based on the pasuk in Sefer Shmuel, Veosif Lecha Chohena Vechohena, that David HaMelech at the time had six wives, Chohena Vechohena, 6 plus 6 plus 6. Always comes out to 18, so he can't have 19 wives. It's not a technical issue. The Torah was very concerned that the king's heart should be somehow led astray, should be perverted, should be undermined, should somehow deviate from his solitary focus. Shenamar velo yasur levavo, right? Lo yarbel anoshim, velo yasur levavo. So he says, even if he only has one wife, but it's not a productive relationship. It's not something that directs him to where he should be focused, which is Torah and Tzarchei Tzibur. Then it's a disaster. Why? Shelipo hulev kol kahal Yisrael. Because the heart of the king is the heart of the people. And as his heart goes, so goes the nation. Lefikach. Anytime the Rambam says lefikach, the brisk of lefikach, it's a very important term. So therefore, and there only therefore, it's not a personal thing that the Torah required him to have the Sefer Torah at all times. Dibko akasev haTorah yeser b'sharam shenemar kol yimei chayav. It has to do with his position in the tzibur. So it's not a din in the melech qua his being the melech. It's not a din in the gavra, but it's din in his relationship with the tzibur. That is to say, his palo b'shloma shel malchus, you want to daven for the melech, especially now I direct myself to within the Jewish context, because leadership is vital. And leadership is the capacity to influence people, to drive people around them towards higher aspiration, towards a vision of what can be. Libo hu leiv kol kahal Yisrael. And therefore, la hasaras libo hikpida Torah, because if his heart is corrupted, if he's not interested, then who's going to be interested? And the Torah cared very deeply about the power and the influence that a king could have on society all around him. And this is, of course, instantiated in other halachos. In our shul right now, we happen to be learning the Mishnayos and Makos. It occurred to me to include this in the Makoros as well. You know, it's not just in terms of what the king should be doing positively, but as the pasuk says, Asher nasi yechta, or nasi v'amcha lo sa'or. So we talk about different modes of leadership in society. Certainly you have the king, certainly you have the Rosh HaYeshiva. One of the other individuals that's always put within that broader rubric is the Kohen Gadol. You always know the strange halacha that a person who's exiled based on being a Rotzeach Bishgaga to an Ir Miklat is there at most HaKohen. Okay? And so there's a discussion in the Mishnah Masechta Makos what exactly that means. So there's a Kohen Mashuach during Bayis Rishon, the Kohen Merubeh Begadim in Bayis Sheni. It's a Kohen She'avar Mishichaso, a Kohen who had to replace a Kohen who became a Baal Mum temporarily or a Baal Keri, whatever it was. And then there's a Das Yochid that it would even be a Kohen Mashuach Muhammad. So whatever it means, the Kohen Gadol, but certainly a Kohen who's in a leadership position in society. And the Gemara wants to know, like, what does the Kohen Gadol have to do with the Rotzeach Bishgaga? He doesn't know the Rotzeach and he doesn't know the Mirzach. What do you have to do with anything? And the Gemara says the following. It's a very high bar. My Havali Lamavid. But was he the one who was climbing up the ladder? Or down the ladder, as the case may be. Derech Yerida v'lo Derech Aliyah. Was he the one who was Mishal Shel Esachavis? Was he the one who was lowering the bear? What does this have to do with him? So, Hacha Minan. So here they say in Bavel, Tov Yechatov, famous quote in the Gemara. Tov Yechatov, Zigud Mangin. What? Tov Yechatov and Zigud gets Malchus? And Hasim Neretz Yisrael Amri, Shchem Nasiv, Umiv Goy Gazir, right? So this is in Eretz Yisrael. They used to say, Shechem was the one who took Dina, he's the one who did something wrong in Mivgai. I guess that was one of the Chivi Yoshev Aretz. Mivgai was apparently a common Chivi name if you lived in the ancient Shechem. He should be the one to suffer the consequences. He gets a bris milah, and ultimately what ends up happening. So Amalei Hausaba Mipirkei de Rava Shmili the following. Okay, this was Rava's approach. Shehoya Lohen Levakish Rachman Aldoran Velo Bikshu. And the Kohen Gadol responsible for society at large, in particular, to daven for society that these kinds of things should not happen. And even if he doesn't have any personal connection, he has to be aware that his station requires him to take spiritual responsibility for the entire nation. And this, I say, is a very high bar. He doesn't know the people involved. Say, what opportunity do they have to influence people away from doing things that could lead to a lama gemura and but again, the Torah had a sense, and the halachic worldview has a sense of how leaders can impact society, how leaders should impact society. And indeed, I heard a shiur on this similar topic from Mori Rabbi Rav Aaron Lichtenstein Zatzal. So he actually started with this Gemara on Shabbos, so I'll pretty much end with this Gemara on Masech the Shabbos, about the idea of leadership in general, and how important it is to think whether, again, it's what we call malchus, formal political leadership, or what I like to call rishus, having maybe non-formal leadership, but the capacity to influence people around you. The Gemara in Masechta Shabbos talks about the following concept. Rav, Rabbi Chanin, Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Chaviva, Masna, Bechul, they say, the Moed, Kolki, Aizuga, Chalufei, Rabbi Yochanan, Ma'ayil, Rabbi Yonasan, so you take out Rabbi Yochanan, you put in Rabbi Yonasan, but you get the same idea. Komi, Shef, Shalim, Chos, Lanche, Beso. Anybody who's able to influence his child, his family, and failed to influence his child and his family, he's responsible. All you have to know is no Tanakh. Look what happened to Eli. Terrible curses of Beis Eli. He's held responsible for what happened in his own household. Ba'an She'iro was able to influence people of the city, didn't influence Nispas al An-She'iro. B'chol Olam Kulo, Nispas al Kol Olam Kulo. Amr of Papa, Hani Dvei Reish Glusa, Nitpesu al Kulei Alma. Nureish Galusa, the exilarch, had such power, right, in Bavel, could have influenced the whole world. Right, if the political figures were sinning, so what about the Zakenim? Why are they held responsible? Emal Zakenim Shalomichu Besarim. Person's capacity to influence, person's capacity to teach, was people in his household, in his community, in his yeshiva, society at large. He has those talents, she has those talents, fails to implement that, fails to bring that to bear. Ultimately, that person is held accountable for whatever spiritual maladies are present in that society. So again, it's not only a question of somebody who's endowed with formal governmental authority, though of course there I think it's even more pronounced because the station and the platform gives a person that much greater reach. But for all of us, we're all called upon to be leaders, certainly in our own household, if not beyond, and a responsibility to try to build, to try to shape, to try to influence. And certainly the apotheosis of this idea, we'll skip over the psukim regarding Yoshio, just because we're already over time, I don't want to be matriarch here on President's Day. And you read the psukim on your own time about Yoshio, the way that he was able to marshal and mobilize society. But certainly the apotheosis of this perspective is Yerushalmi, famously cited by the Ramban in Parshas Kisavo, Pasuk of Arur Asher Lo Yakim is Divrei HaTorah Zos Lasos Osav. So the list, before the Tochacha, there's a list of 12 Arurim. Right, says Arur Makereu Basasa, Arur Makle Avivi Imo. And the common denominator is all these things that happen in private. And then the last one of the Arurim is Arur Asher Lo Yakim is Divrei HaTorah Zos Lasos Osav. So Rashi says Kan Kol Kol Torah Kula, and the Ramban disagrees. He says this isn't talking about the entire Torah in the sense that, you know, you had 11 and then, you know, the rest of the Torah was somehow included in this last one, but it has to do with something very specific. So he goes through different views, and at that time we try to develop all the perspectives, but he quotes a Yerushalmi in Sota. Yerushalmi in Sota is shocking. If you haven't seen the language of this Yerushalmi, it'll shake you to your core. Ro'isi asher lo yakim, v'chiyesh Torah no fellas. What does it mean when it says, arur asher lo yakim es divrei HaTorah zo? Somebody doesn't lift up the Torah. So Rishimani Yakim Omer Zeha Chazan. It's interesting. The Ramban goes on to develop this view that this is the person who does Hagba. Because the person who does Hagba has a special responsibility to show the Torah to the entire community. So that's also important halacha to know. Rabbi Shimon Chalafta Omer, no. Is that based in Shalmata? The Mar of Yehuda Rav Huna b'shem Shmuel aladavar azek hara Yoshio v'amar alai lahakim. When Yoshio realized Sefer Torah was discovered, right, and that he had the ability to influence society, Amr Abasi b'shem Rabbi Tarnachum Barchia lamad, person studied Torah v'limed, and he taught Torah v'shamar, and he personally kept the Torah. Right, the asa lo sase ase the raisa the rabbanan minhagim diktuke sofrim, but vayasipek biyado lahachzik. But he could have strengthened Torah in society. Could have been more of a marbitz Torah. Could have been more of a mashpia in society. Velo hechzik. But he failed to have the kind of influence that we talked about. Liba hulev kol akahal hareza bichlal ara. Imagine such a thing. Lamad velimed veshamar veasa. But he didn't fit the description of Aruah Shalo Yakim as Divrei HaTorah Zosa Sosam. But he didn't influence the way that he could have influenced. He was reserved when he shouldn't have been. He was retiring when he shouldn't have been. Harezeh B'chal Arur. Yidrishu B'hakama HaZos Beis HaMelech. This of course applies to the Melech. V'hanesiyos Shabiyadam L'hakim Es HaTorah B'yad HaMivadlam Osa. People who are in positions either of formal authority, and I would extend the Ramban, people who don't necessarily have formal authority, but they have those innate qualities of leadership and of charisma to try to influence people around them. They don't bring those to bear for the right purposes, and they're satisfied with their own personal accomplishments or their familial accomplishments, but they don't go out there and try to shape society in accordance with a particular Torah vision. This is bichlal arur. The Ramban says, v'afilu hayahut tzadik gamor b'masav, hayayachal lahachzik ha-Torah b'yad Hashem v'adnosa, Harezo Arur, Rizakar of Lenin Shemirash. This is also part of Arur Asher Lo Yakim, the Rea Teresos. So to all the Talmidim in particular, we're called upon not only Lamed, Lishmor Laso, Sulakayim, for ourselves. The notion of leadership per se, and this is why it's so important, Mispalo Bishlomo Shel Malchus, is that those people in society who are so endowed, who are in a position to influence society, Lira, unfortunately, they have the capacity to lead society in a terrible direction, or they have the capacity to lead society in a positive direction. This is a very important thing. So we should all for ourselves be aware of this, be aware of the tone-setting capacity that leaders have in society, number one. But number two, to strive for ourselves, to cultivate some of these characteristics, to put ourselves in a position where we're able to influence, to use the expanding concentric circles, the Gemara Masechta Shabbos, Anshe Beso, Anshe Iro, Kola Olam Kulo, that we're able to project a message to our households successfully, to our communities, and even beyond our communities, to project a message in accordance with Torah values. That, of course, is the inverse. Arur Asher Lo Yakim Es Divrei HaTorah Hazos. If a person is Arur for not doing such things, so of course, Kal V'chomer Ben Menos Shel Kal V'chomer, that a person who does do these things, not only is scrupulous in his personal observance, but strives to influence society around him, harei zeh bichlal baruch. Thank you very much. Wish everybody a wonderful